In Shvi of Parshat Ki Tisa, Moshe Rabbeinu is on the Har, or on Har Sinai, on Mount Sinai, for the 40 days, the second time, and Hashem says, Ketav lecha et hadvarim ha'ele, write all these words, write the Torah, Ki al pi hadvarim ha'ele karati itcha brit, because this is the basis of the covenant. And he is there for 40 days and 40 nights. And he writes, he writes on the tablets at Divrei HaBrit, Aseret HaDvarim. And when he came down from the mountain, when he's coming down, bringing the Luchot, Moshe didn't know that his face, the skin of his face, shone, was lit up, b'dabro ito, when he spoke to God. But v'yar Aaron v'chol b'nei Yisrael et Moshe, v'nei karan or panav. They saw his face shining. V'yiru migeshet elav. They were afraid to approach him. And Moshe, we're told at the end of the parsha, that he had to cover his face. They were so in awe. Where does this light come from? There is a medrash in Shmot Rabbah. It's quoted in the Or HaChaim on the Pasuk of Karan or Pnei Moshe. I'll read Rabbi Yehuda Bar Nachman Omar, that he says, Kshekatav Moshe HaTorah, when Moshe wrote the Torah, Nishtayer Bekumus, there remained in the quill, Kima, a little bit of ink. Vehaviro al Rosho, what did Moshe do with this little bit of ink? He took the ink and he made a mark on his head with it. He wrote it on his skin, as you will. And Nasolo Karneahod, the rays of glory, the shining of Moshe, came from the blackness of this ink which was on his head. And the Or HaChaim says, these words are very difficult to understand. Dvarim stumim v'chatumim. So he suggests the following answer. We find that Moshe was the Anav of all people in the world. Va'ish Moshe Anav mikol ha'adam, Anav me'od. He was the greatest person of humility. Okay? That the word, when you look in the Torah that says that, when it's the word Anav, could be spelled male, full, ayin, nun, yud, vav, or, as it is spelled in the Torah, anav, ayin, nun, vav, without the yud. And the Or HaChaim HaKadosh suggests that when Moshe Rabbeinu was told to write the word anav, he didn't write it in the fullness of the way Anav is written, Ayin Nun Yud Vav, because he was unable to, he was told to write it, but he wrote it without the Yud. It's incredible, incredibly beautiful, beautiful pshat in the Medrash, a reading of the Medrash. I mean, if you just think about it, practically speaking, it meant that God had given him all the ink that was necessary to write every word and every letter of the Torah. But Moshe made the decision not to write the Anav in its fullest sense. He couldn't bring himself to do that. But then there was ink left over. The smallest amount of ink, of course, because the Yud is the smallest letter. But it is from that Moshe understood. Moshe understood, and for that, his face shines. Now, on the other hand, let us take this idea and go one step further. And that is that, after all, shouldn't it be in the Torah? Shouldn't we find the Torah to be, if I can be very bold, puzzle, because it's missing the yud of anav, even though it's read the same way, but it's not written the same way. And I would like to suggest that Moshe understood something that is the shining of a person's face, and that is one thing to write a Sefer Torah on the parchment that makes the Sefer Torah the Sefer Torah. But it is another thing, another part of writing a Sefer Torah, that a human being should become a Sefer Torah, that it should be part of him, that it should enter him. And when it does enter a person in such a way that he is transformed through it, he stands in awe and humility of God, and the blackness of that ink shines forth with the awe, with the light of Torah. It is in the Sefer Netivot Or, which is Rabbi Tzela Blazer, one of the three great students of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, the founder of the Musar movement. Rabbi Tzela Petterberger was the Rav of St. Petersburg. He's known as Rabbi Tzela Petterberger. So he wrote a work, Netivot Or, about Rabbi Yisrael Salanter and the Musar movement. And he speaks about Rabbi Tzela Salanter in a little, very small unit called Matzni Alechet. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter was a person of great humility and hid his greatness to the degree that when he was out among people who didn't know him, they would never have thought he wasn't dressed like Rabbanim are dressed, and he behaved as a simple person and never broadcast himself. And he writes that lo haya nikar alav klal, if you looked at Rabbi Yisrael on that, ki hu ish me'anshei amala, that he was any distinguished person. Velo higishu bo b'nei adam, and people wouldn't have paid particular attention to him, except there was one thing he couldn't hide when he was hiding himself. Zulat et asher lo haya yachol lastir et or panav hatahor. He couldn't hide the shining of his pure and holy face. Asher chachmato, his wisdom, his knowledge, the yirato, and his awe of God. Heiru panav bior p'nei melech chayim. They lightened, his face shone with the light of the face of Melech Chaim, the King of Life, the Living King, God's reflected rays. Now this is the, we might take this and remember the Ramban. At the beginning of the Torah, the Ramban quotes a Kabbalistic tradition that the Torah is Eish Shchora. All the Torah is fire. Fire is destructive and fire gives light. All the Torah is fire. It is Eish Shchora. It is a fire, a black fire. Al Gabe Eish Levana. That is on top of a white fire. We might well say that the meaning of this is the letters of the Torah are solidified. They appear dark, right? There's no transparency. But really, this darkness is a fire, and it is fed from underneath by the very skin parchment that is also the bearer of this fire. And there is the equivalent of that. There is the person who has imbibed, internalized Torah to the point that it shows in his very body, in the awe, not the awe of the parchment of the scroll, but the awe of the parchment that is the soul of the person. and reflects from the soul into his very body, into his very face. And this idea is perhaps in another version of this. This is perhaps the story that I tell of the custom, which you can see if you go early sometime through Mea Sharim, if you regularly see, you'll see sooner or later, early in the morning, an adult male carrying a little child. He's wrapped in a talus. The father is wrapped in a talus, and he brings him to Cheder, where he's going to begin to study, and he puts him down, and the Rebbe in the Cheder puts honey on the letters and tells the little child to trace the letters with his finger and then to taste what, right? And here's honey. And the child is thrilled by this. What happens the next day, though? So I always like think that what happens the next day is the child comes into the cheder, and he's got his chumash, he's got the aleph beis, and he looks around, and he's beginning to read a word. So he takes his finger, and he runs it over the letter, and he tastes it. Doesn't taste. Doesn't, it's not sweet. So he cries, Tati. He comes home, he says, it didn't taste sweet. His father explains to him. He says, child, okay, the first day it was special, right? We showed you what it is. After that, you have to learn how to touch the letters, and it takes a long time so that every letter will be sweet. Right? What the father is telling the child, or the Cheder Rebbe is telling the child, is that you've got to make the Torah yours, and then you'll taste the sweetness of the Torah. This sweetness of the Torah is, of course, what we're talking about as the light of the Torah. This idea of is at the base, at the root, is the basis of a poem in the Library of Everything, okay, that I wrote a fair while ago. It's a poem called Moshe's Word, okay, and I'll read the poem. He dipped the quill one last time, God's inkwell empty. 40 days, 40 nights of waiting for God's word to overwhelm him as a thunderstorm, to caress him as a mother. With each dipping, it came, ink blackness, frozen eternity of raging black fire in line and form, contained an infinity of raging white fire in parchment borders. A man waited in loneliness for the sound of silence. Let me interrupt the poem. That's, of course, Eliyahu is returned. Eliyahu Navi, when he returns to Har Sinai alone. A man waited in loneliness for the sound of silence, sending him forth to Damascus wilderness for the unfathomed thought spinning him back to primordial chaos, waited with trembling hand, clutching pigment glistening quill for a word that did not come. Perhaps he cried out to God, prayed for the word, perhaps, but only his plea for God's word echoed in mountain silence. God himself waited in loneliness, in yearning, waited for man's word, man and God, actors suspended in unspoken dialogue. He read again the letters God had granted, sang again the words God had spoken, 10 times, 50 times, 100 times and yet once more. In silence, he heard God's yearning for him to shape in light the symbol that is the last letter, to wrap in fire the wonder that is world word, to write in life the never-ending end of Torah. The hand steadied, quill-touched man parchment, a letter written not the form of Aleph, not the curve of Samech, God letter, a line not read as law, the whirlwind of the spirit, God word, a curve not sung as poem, the passion of the soul. God's silence sounds and man becomes Torah. God's letter forms and flesh becomes life. God's word enters and face becomes shining before the eyes of all Israel. His face shines. And of course, some of you will recognize that the whirlwind and the passion comes from a translation of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter introductory poem to his Igeret HaMusar, the letter about Musar, the last two lines of which speaks of the need to study Torah with, quote, the whirlwind of the spirit and the passion of the soul. The whirlwind of the spirit, Sarat HaRuach, V'rikshat HaNefesh, the whirlwind of the spirit and the passion of the soul. It's not enough to stand outside it. It has to become part of me, and the very way that I speak it when I learn it, the very way that I sing it, has to be with passion. And that passion means that I have become part of it. I am connected with it.